My name is Darren Hupke, and this is Pixels and Polygons. Everybody, this episode is a day and a half-ish late. It's going to be posted on Saturday, and I typically like to post it on Fridays. My apologies. It's kind of like a little bit of a busier week, and on my last day off, I was packing up a lot of books for the Kickstarter 32-bit library volume 4 that I'm shipping out to people. So got a little busy, didn't get it edited like I wanted to, but I am here now, and you have a new episode. This week's episode is two returning guests. I'm having Rusty on back-to-back episodes, so he'll be joining me for the first part of the episode. And on the back half, we have returning guests and good guest. I was going to say something else there, and then I just blanked. But another returning guest, Andrew Elmore. The two questions they wanted to ask individually were more of my obscure questions and ones that people don't really typically pick. So I matched these two together as kind of a potpourri of something, some kind of tangential linking to them, because I don't know when I'm going to get somebody else to answer these questions to make a cool pair for it for the episode. So they are favorite like custom character or unlockable character or mode in a video game is what Rusty answers. And then on the back half, we have Andrew answering like a character on or a question on custom characters. Like, what do you name them? Do you have a go-to like name or style or design? Where does that come from? And just kind of a conversation around that. So they're both kind of tied to characters in games and unlockables and customizations and things like that. So they're close enough. It's my show. I can do what I want. But that's what I've got for y'all this week. There's nothing really else new on the back end. Still working on my other books and projects and having a good time doing that. You can, of course, find all that stuff on my Patreon, patreon.com/Darren Hupke, for some of the writing and progress on what I'm working on. Other than that, it would be awesome if y'all could take a moment and do a little like a rating or review for the show on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. If you have been enjoying the show and you want to give it a 5-star or a thumbs up or whatever the review system is on your podcast platform, that would be much appreciated. Otherwise, if you have any friends or you know, people who might enjoy video games, or you have a you know, somebody in mind that, you know, you think might enjoy listening to some of these video game conversations, the biggest thing that could also help me is just kind of spreading the word and helping share the links and share the episodes as they come out. So appreciate all of you who've already been doing all of that, and appreciate everybody who's been awesome enough to be a guest and share some messages online. Appreciate you all. Other than that, we're going to get right into the episode now and not waste any more of your time. And I will see you all again in 6 days. Well, here we go. Welcome to another episode of the show. I've got returning guest, Rusty, here with me. And to kick things off, we'll do another icebreaker question. This should be interesting. What collectible would you need to find if your life was a video game?
Oh, geez. I mean, it's cliche to say, like, art-related stuff that I would need, but, like, I would just kind of need, like, a tablet to get me going. I also use a very inexpensive tablet. A lot of artists I know bought the Cintiq and, like, the $1,000 ones. I use a $50 tablet that you just, it's flat, it's really basic. And I love artists being upset that I'm using a $50 tablet to do what they do. yeah, I think that, like, just being able to create is my main thing. If I was in a game, I would need, like, tools. I would need to be able to, like, make my own thing. Like, you know, I don't think I really necessarily have, like, a deep, burning creative desire, But when I don't do it, I get depressed. I'm like, man, I need to make some art. I got to make something. I got to get that endorphin rush from posting artwork that makes people happy. And I get like 50 likes on it or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Cool. Okay. So something art related, something in that. Now, would this be a... like a platforming game, or would this be like a Metroidvania title? Like, what would be this
character
game?
Action? If I had to take my chance, because this whole time the thing was we're talking today, but a loves me a game where you'd have jump, a light and a heavy attack, and some sort of distance attack. That's it. Like that's all you need. Like Devil May Cry, God of War, etc. Like anything in that genre, that would be my preference if possible.
Hmm. Okay. Cool. All right. Well, we had previously talked about some of the questions you'd like to do, so we're going to pick this one here for the main episode. But do you have a favorite secret, bonus, or unlockable gaming mode or character? This is one not a lot of people have picked, so I think it's cool that you did choose this one. So, yeah, I'd love to hear your answer. Like, what is your favorite, and tell us a little bit about why.
Well, actually, I thought about it when you asked me, because I actually just recently did... I'm kind of doing like faux PlayStation inserts using my prior artwork. And the first one I did, or second one I did actually, was...
there was an audio issue here, but he says Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
On PlayStation. I actually had the Dreamcast version, so I can't say it was great on the PlayStation or whatever, but when you unlock Spider-Man, he made the most sense of any character. He fit into that world so well. I know they had Darth Maul and... Eddie from Iron Maiden and all that later on. But Spider-Man really as a skateboarding character makes the most sense, and it was cool that they happened to have a license at the time. I've done like a larger 11x14 artwork of it, and it's something like I always like love to talk about at shows. Like it would get me going for like 10 or 15 minutes. I distinctly remember like unlocking the video and seeing like the guy dressed up as Spider-Man doing tricks in real life, and my artwork is actually based off that. So he's got like the cargo shorts and the hat all backwards, and I think that like that was in a time too where secrets were known, but you couldn't. Not everybody blew it for you. Like spoilers were out there, but you kind of had to go looking for it. It was kind of a nice surprise. That was another key factor too. I think after a certain point, secrets and bonuses kind of like get spoiled before you even touch the game, and it's not as fun in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean I loved that Neversoft Spider-Man game on the original PlayStation.
Oh, yeah.
And but still, like I don't know that I was putting like two and two together, like, oh, Neversoft is developing Tony Hawk and Neversoft developed Spider-Man, so they must, like, you know, obviously have some overlap there. I definitely was surprised when I was a kid and like unlocked that and found that myself. I'm a huge Spider-Man fan and everything. Nice. So like that's just like that was like a super cool bonus. And even his special tricks, having like been able to like use his webs and everything, like,
yeah,
it was always like super cool. I think it was really well done, like for like a big giant surprise.
Also had like extra costumes like out of the gate too. Like nowadays there's with the nature of Spider-Man and Venom, they kind of like they would not include, you wouldn't get the red and black costume from Jump. That would be a second game. That would be a DLC nowadays. I think you had Armored Spider-Man and Captain Universe Spider-Man as well. Which, you know, sure, they're there. It's cool, I guess. You know, I don't know. And the really big, like, diehard Captain Universe Spider-Man fans. That having those costumes and everything fit that world and that character to a T, that I don't know if they could pull off synergy like that again. I wish they would do more. I was really disappointed playing the recent Tony Hawk 1 and 2 remaster, and that was no longer an option. So yeah. I went out and actually bought my kid the PlayStation 1 version so we could play on the PS3 outside. Because look, no, so you want to play Spider-Man, here you go.
Yeah, that's cool. I don't know why I completely spaced on it. I loved that remaster of it and everything, and I realized that he was definitely missing, obviously. That's how licensing works, you know? They no longer had the rights to it, and, you know, it's a Sony thing, so...
He was actually the... I remember when the Dreamcast... I'm trying to think of the Dreamcast version. No, it was the Xbox. The Xbox version, the original Tony Hawk 1 and 2 collection. I can't remember what it was called.
Tony Hawk 2X, and I don't think every level from Tony Hawk 1 in it, but it did have like a majority of them in there, and then some bonus ones. Like that was a really good version outside of like the original Xbox controller kind of being a little wonky.
Oh, the Duke.
But, yeah. but yeah, was he in that Xbox version?
I'm thinking he was. I could be like gaslighting myself and thinking that he was, but I'm pretty sure he was. But again, see, compared to everybody else you got at that time, you had Officer Dick. Who cares?
Yeah.
Private Carrera was some, like, you had to, like, do every grind in the game, or every gap.
Yeah.
It was some obscene thing. I don't even know if a code worked, but it was just some Tia Carrera wannabe girl. I was like, all right, sure, whatever.
Yeah.
Nowhere near the impact. And like I said, too, everybody else who's come after, I know Darth Maul fans swear by it, and he just wasn't a skateboarder. He wasn't associated with the city. Spider-Man's associated with the city. He's associated with Metro. So he's a perfect street skater in my mind. He's Rodney Mullen of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. It all lines up. Yeah, the Darth Maul Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 one was, yeah, I was never really that excited by that one either. And yeah, the same thing, the Officer Dick, I didn't get it. Must have been like an in-house joke, you know, that they thought was kind of funny for themselves, yeah. You know, make fun of a cop.
The magic bomb. Yeah. The bomb. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I guess. All right. Sure.
Yeah, but Spider-Man definitely was a good surprise. That's a cool choice. I mean, I guess it's worth sharing. Like, I mean, I did enjoy quite a bit of the, like, in those original Spider-Man games, like those bonus costumes that you could unlock there as well. So Neversoft probably just, they must have just used that model they already had and made it real easy just to insert it into Tony Hawk. Like, it's got to be, like, some of the same work already done for them, just
brought over. It was probably, like, the third generation of the Bruce Willis model that they used in Apocalypse,
yeah.
But they use for Doc, but they use for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So we're playing on Bruce Willis's bones to this day, probably, so.
His skeleton is inside of everyone. He is truly Spider-Man. But yeah, that Spider-Man game having plenty of cool unlockable, like, outfits. Like, you, I remember, I think you found hidden, like, comic covers is what
yeah.
think. And then, like gave you a little bit of, like, history on, like, the series itself and, then unlocking like the outfits in that game was always rad. Like there was that Captain Universe Spider-Man. There was the armored Spider-Man, the, you know, the symbiote suit,
they had Miguel O'Hara too. I think
they did. They had that and, they had a Scarlet Spider, suit as well, or I guess what would you call him?
Ben Reilly. Yeah. I just called him Reilly. Yeah.
Because I was like, well, he's not going to be the Scarlet Spider yet.
Right.
I mean, that had a lot of cool unlockables. I remember playing that game quite a bit and, definitely like doing all that I could to unlock all of those suits and thoroughly enjoyed that game for sure.
I think like one of your other ones was talking about like great gaming moments or whatever, that original Spider-Man game, the PlayStation, when Carnage took over Doc Ock, that was just fantastic.
Yeah.
That moment was so incredibly sick. Like, I don't think that hasn't been replicated for me in many other games. Because that was not something that had ever been done in the comics, to my knowledge, mm-hmm. or anything. Because, like, Doc Ock is kind of his own character away from the symbiote. They don't usually mix together.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a cool crossover for them.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's the episode then there, Rusty. Thank you so much for jumping on. Do you have anything coming up or anything that people should look out for, or just kind of your typical day-to-day stuff that you've got?
Primarily my day-to-day, and again, too, I've been under, not under an NDA, but mentally I am. But I've been working on a game for about a year and a half. That will be released hopefully this year or fully announced this year. If you like the 80s Mania wrestling stuff, it's somewhat related to that. I can't go into too much detail on it. But yeah, I look forward to be announced right now. That's hopefully I can get some more information out to people soon. But like, I know I'm more productive than I think, because I look at my art like, or like my threads, I'm like, oh, I posted like 30 pictures, but I feel like I'm not as productive because people have not seen my finished product.
Mm.
And I'm probably at like 130 of finished products on this.
Oh, wow.
That no one has seen yet. So hopefully I can show everybody soon.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you, Rusty. We'll look forward to having you on future episodes for sure.
All right. Hey, thanks for having me, Darren. Appreciate it.
welcome back to the show, Andrew. Hello.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Yeah, it's a fun time having chatting with you. My wife randomly, I think she listens to all the episodes. She's very, very quietly supportive that way. But she's only ever asked me questions about episodes you've been on so far. No. What was that one game the guy was talking about? And I'm like, I don't know. I talk about games with everybody on every episode. So which, you gotta be more specific. But she ended up being interested.
A lot of weird rabbit holes of just.
Yeah. Well, she ended up being interested in Vagrant Story. Like the idea of playing that. Wow. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, we did talk about that. So that was Andrew. So if Nicole might listen to this, maybe she'll get more interested in something else. But
Nicole,
let's look at
it. I also have not started it yet, but hopefully someday.
It's there. It's not going anywhere.
It's true. Is the question.
Hopefully you're just going to and from planned locations and
ideally
appropriate amounts of health, and that's it, you know. appropriate amounts, you know, nothing too crazy.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to be too healthy. That's dangerous.
That's when you're going to turn into an American Gladiator and they got canceled. So you don't want to live that life.
Yeah. Instead, I'm just a regular American and those get cancer. Is that? Never mind. this is bad. This is horrible.
The icebreaker question.
Yep. Let's go.
What is your favorite form of video game currency?
Oh, man. Favorite form of video game currency. I like bucks in Toe Jam and Earl. That's a good one.
Okay.
I like when it just says $1. That's funny to me for some reason. I don't know why that's the first one that comes up. I think it's very funny that our friends at From Software continue to try to call their various currencies anything other than souls. They'll always just be souls. That's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Gil is a good one. Guilders. I don't know. Let's go with bucks.
Bucks. All right. From Toe Jam and Earl. Okay. That's a fun one. So, you rolled the dice and you had a few questions you wanted to answer.
Spin that wheel, baby.
Yeah. And so we're going to randomly surprise you with one of those ones. Let's do this one. This one is a fun one. All right. Well, then, so the question then that we'll ask after we edited out what people aren't going to hear previously before this statement, because they're going to assume that nothing happened. But what?
They will now.
Okay, now, but I'm going to edit this out, and they won't know what I edited out about editing
gotcha.
Out.
Yes.
Boom. Nailed it. They don't know anything.
Incredible.
This one's fun. I didn't know how many people would want to answer this one then. So let's see if you, how you feel about this one, but custom characters. Do you have like a name or design that you typically like to make when you have custom characters? And if so, do you always pick like the same or do you kind of mix it up a little bit? And is there a reason for you going into this, that custom character realm?
Yeah. So I've got, a little bit, instead of like, okay, I know people that have like one character name or like archetype that they use for everything. I have a little bit, it's something similar to that. I have like a naming convention that I kind of use, which is it's very stupid. I take the name of the game and then just try to fit the closest like name of a person I can think of to that. Started with when I first played Demon Souls on PS3, I named him Damon Soulsman. Soulsman is not a super common last name. I'm not sure that I've ever encountered that one. Maybe Saltzman or something like that. There's got to be some similar sounding thing in there. But it's basically like that. So I think the most cursed version of that. This is the first time I played Bloodborne because that game initially reminded me a lot of Castlevania Rondo of Blood, but in 3D. So I was like, well, I can't just go Rondo of Bloodborne. That's too many characters and it's too stupid. So it was that. And so normally if I'm like creating a character or whatever, usually just like, you know, I'm a simple man. It's a slightly idealized version of myself, let's say, if I had spent the last 20 years in the gym or whatever, and got some better haircuts, etc. but I don't usually spend a whole lot of time on it, and frankly don't really have to, because I'm a big generic white guy, so it's usually pretty easy. But this time my buddy, who was kind of shepherding me through Bloodborne, told me that there was some physics bug, I guess, with male character models. I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe he was confused, whatever. So I made a female character in that game. Ended up going, I was like, okay, Ronda's a name. Rondo is a music word. Ronda sounds close enough to that. But I can't do, what sounds close to Bloodborne? I didn't really have anything good. So I went with Blood Bjork. So we got Ronda Blood Bjork. We're on like three different layers of stupid here now. That's probably the most cursed that ever got. But yeah, generally that's usually where I try and keep it, is I just, whatever the first dumb thing I think of is, like for Elden Ring, it's Elias Riggs. I think it was just like, as far as how many letters I can get to match. And, you know, the first or second thing that comes to mind is usually what goes in there.
So where do you think that comes from? Why do you think you go that route for like that naming convention?
Yeah. So it's partially because I am too self-conscious to take it seriously enough to, you know, use a real like character name in RPGs and stuff. And then the other side of that is I don't want it so ridiculous that it is constantly distracting, even if it makes for very funny screenshots. Our friend Dre from Fine Time over there sent me a screenshot of, I don't even remember what he was playing. I think it might've been Lunar or something, but his character's name was Pizza. And oh man, I would have to scroll back way too far in Discord to find this, but just pretend it was really funny. Guess he had to be there, folks. I'm sorry. You ever just start an anecdote and then you realize you don't remember how it ends? Apologies. Another example, like my wife's naming convention for every character and everything is she just finds weird ways to spell poop fart. It's just the dumbest thing we could think of. Whatever. I think that might have started when we had a toddler. Sometimes it gets filtered, so you got to get creative. It's usually first party Nintendo games get a little bit weird about that. They don't like either of those words. Those are toilet words. We're adults here.
That's funny.
Very responsible.
Yeah, I remembered. I think I would always just name characters Darren, just like my name. And I was like, all right, this is going to be me.
That's what I usually do, is just Andrew or whatever. But at some point, I was like, man, I got to do something a little bit dumber than that. I don't know.
Yeah, then. No, that's okay. But I remember when I played the Suikoden like 1 and 2, like you can import your save file and everything. And I was like, I beat the game as Darren McDowell. And I was like, all right, the hero, like, great. I knocked this out. I saved the day. All right. Part two, I'll start it up. And then it imported the save file. And I knew there was going to be like bonus content or you'd meet the, you know, the hero. Unfortunately, there was like a naming bug in there, but still in my brain, I was like, no, there's already a Darren that exists in this world. Like I can't have two Darrens now. And like, it completely ruined my, you know, my typical naming convention of just using my name. So, I now either try and use just like the default names just to like keep like a clean save type of thing, for like a lot of RPGs. I don't know why. But like for other games, I'll like make like, I typically make like a female character named Ruti. Like there was in Tales of Destiny on the PS1. That was one of the names of the characters, and no idea why I always liked that name or whatever, but it's just like, all right, Ruti, like that'll just be the name. And I'll just make it some form of like dark haired person whose favorite color is red or some type of red design, because that's what she was. And I dig the game. Like Tales of Destiny is a fun game, but it is not at all like a life-changing, like, oh my god, like this is like completely blown my mind.
It's a remake of a Super Famicom game, isn't it?
Well, Tales of Phantasia was the first one. Yeah. So it is just the sequel to it, but the team who made that game, like a lot of those main folks left to make to form Triace and then became like the Star Ocean developers and stuff. So that technically was like a newer group making Tales of Destiny over Tales of Phantasia, which is just weird. The research I do for these dumb books.
Was that X Wolf Team people or was that the other? So, okay.
Yeah, that was the Wolf Team was what they were, who developed Phantasia, and then the fragments of that in some internal Namco studios what developed Destiny and then continued on from there.
Got to get my timeline right.
Yeah, but now I, and then Tony Hawk games, Tony Hawk, it's always Darren. I mean, Darren's never gone away. He's still the completely physically fit and prepared to skate at any age.
Exactly as he was in 1999 or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's still ready to go. But the rest of the time, yes, it's Rooty. And then I have sprinkled in for like alt characters and stuff. I remember I had a Final Fantasy 11 character just to like save items because that was a limiting design in MMOs of the time where you could only store so many items. So I had to make an entirely second character to send items to save stuff. But I named him Gillian Seed just from Snatcher. And I'm like, yeah, this will be cool. So now, I've like combined those things.
You role model that Gillian.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Like, I mean, just, I want to be like him when I grow up. Or maybe I'm older than him now. And that's
like,
you know,
maybe the most divorced man in the world. It's like, he's up there with Elon. Just
yeah.
Gil.
But yeah, now I just, now usually it's first name, last name situation. Rooty Seed is what I do. Cause just to combine those two things. Yeah. Why it came from those. I mean, Snatcher, like Blade Runner, like Kojima stuff, like, you know, so all, of course all those things, like, you know, just snowballed in together. I'm like, yeah, this is cool. Like, I'm really into this regardless of how good of a game it actually was. And, so just liking that character and then the weird Tales of Destiny thing. Yeah. I'm not sure where that came from. But that's the origin of why I continue to name and design the folks that I make the same things for whatever reason.
Yeah. Right on. It's good to have a theme, especially when different character creators have different tool sets. You kind of have to like approximate a little bit. But yeah, I, generally, if a character has like a canonical name or whatever, I never change those. Even in like Megaten games, when it asks you your name right up front, I usually will just like Google it really quick. All right, what is the canonical name of the demi fiend, the whatever, you know?
Yeah,
because my brain is broken that way. But yeah, like Final Fantasies and stuff, when they just leave it, when it defaults to whatever their, you know, canon name is, I just leave it at that usually.
Cool. So do you enjoy or prefer games with like custom characters, or would you rather prefer a game with a baked and designed character for you?
Depends on the game. If they have, you know, written a character that they are trying to do things with, then, you know, it's usually something you want to be already established by, you know, a team of professional writers and designers and narrative designers and all that stuff. But if it's a game like, you know, a Dragon's Dogma or a Souls game or whatever, where it's just like your player is effectively, a digital avatar of yourself and your inputs, and most of the actual role playing takes place in your head, if at all, I don't mind letting that just be a blank slate where I can just make a dude and then make him get hurt a lot on my journey, basically.
Just make the largest, tallest, widest, purplest, nakedest dude you can to just break the immersion into the game. And
yeah, that's the actual rule, is just sliders all the way to one side and then all the way to the other, alternating all the way down.
Yeah,
whatever you get at the end is whatever you get.
That's it. That's the hero.
Yep.
Rad. Okay, that's it's an odd question, but I was just thinking about custom characters and everything, and I'm sure different people have different backstories and reasons they choose to do so. So yeah, thanks for answering that one.
The only other detail I was going to add is in Tony Hawk, I just always play Rodney Mullen because I don't know, Rodney Mullen's always just been real cool.
Yeah,
remember that time that he was the voice of the antagonist in a Ghost Recon game?
No. I do not know that.
Breakpoint, I think it was the most recent one. It's, you know, the modern day Ubisoft, like big open world format, Ghost Recon. I think it was a follow up to Wildlands. He played like a tech executive dude that was like, you know, evil tech billionaire type. For whatever reason, they had Rodney Mullen voice that character. I don't know why.
Why? But yeah, that's so not strange.
Not a clue. Worth looking into, probably. I wish someone could give me an answer to that. But otherwise, just, I don't know.
So
that guy's always just seemed real cool.
Yeah, yeah. That's such an odd job to take on and everything, but that's so cool. That's a random thing. All right. Well, thanks, Andrew, for chatting in for this episode. I'll have your same links in the show notes and everything for the episode, so people can kind of check you out and give you a follow. And we will have you on future episodes for sure.
Sounds good.